California braces for more rain and floods. Speaker Gingrich fires a controversial House appointee. Some Russian soldiers reportedly go over the wall in Chechnya. Good morning for Bill Lynch. This is Frank Sedapani with the CBS World News Roundup. It's the last thing Southern California needs, more rain, but that's exactly what the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department has to contend with this morning.
We've got a lot of search and rescue personnel as well as the on-duty deputy sheriffs that are in the area evacuating the most highly threatened neighborhoods and keeping an eye on the flood conditions to determine if more need to be evacuated.
Sheriff spokesman Tom Gracie says that after a week of heavy rain, some streets have water as high as the windows of parked cars. Along Northern California's Russian River, whatever isn't tied down is floating away.
It's about 12 feet deep on the streets and faster than the river normally flows. It's unreal.
The Red Cross says floods have driven more than 2,500 families from their homes. John Blackstone has the latest from San Francisco.
The Napa River, usually barely a stream, just kept on rising overnight as residents filled sandbags.
It's crazy around here. Everybody's just donating bags because we're out of burlap bags. They're coming from L.A.
Store owner Katie Swanson worked in the rain to keep the water out.
We've got a pretty expensive investment on the inside, and we need to take care of it.
For many of those flooded out, a place on higher ground met a cot in a crowded Red Cross evacuation center. Some, like Betty Hartso, had waited to escape until the floodwaters surrounded them.
It was scary. My kids were scared. I was afraid that we were going to drown.
In a matter of days, California has gone from a drought watch to a flood watch. John Blackstone, CBS News, San Francisco.
A Monterey County trash collector was killed when a storm-weakened cypress tree fell on the cab of his truck. A state of emergency is in effect in Los Angeles, where the new storm could bring 4 more inches of rain. Forecasters expect rain most of the week. Less than a week after hiring her as the official House historian, Speaker Newt Gingrich has fired Georgia College professor Christina Jeffrey. Bob Schieffer has the story.
Late yesterday, it was revealed that while serving on a Department of Education panel in 1986, Dr. Jeffrey had argued against awarding a $70,000 federal grant for a high school program on the Holocaust because she wrote, "The program gives no evidence of balance or objectivity. The Nazi point of view, however unpopular, is still a point of view and is not presented, nor is that of the Ku Klux Klan." When New York Congressman Charles Schumer learned of that, he demanded she be fired.
What Christina Jeffrey has said is an affront to tens of thousands of Holocaust survivors and millions of American World War II veterans who fought the Nazis, many of whom gave their lives.
And by 9 o'clock last night, Dr. Jeffrey's brief career as a House historian was over. Gingrich called her, couldn't locate her in person, and left a message demanding a resignation. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington.
Dr. Jeffrey's husband, Robert, insists that his wife's statements on the Holocaust program were meant to be taken satirically and were leaked out of context.
There's no truth to the fact that either the statement nor my wife is anti-Semitic, and that will become clear as the people of the country get to know her.
President Clinton reportedly wants Connecticut Senator Christopher Dodd to take over as chairman of the Democratic Party. White House officials tell the New York Times Dodd would be a spirited leader who could bring the party back from its devastating election loss. Dodd would remain in the Senate while another party official would handle day-to-day business. According to the New York Times, Hillary Clinton called herself naive and dumb about national politics and asked a group of women writers for suggestions on projecting a more likable image. Mrs. Clinton is also quoted as taking most of the blame for the failure of health care reform. The president travels to a Galesburg, Illinois community college today to promote his middle-class Bill of Rights, a collection of tax breaks that includes help for families trying to put children through school. Russian and separatist forces in Chechnya are supposed to be observing a timeout to evacuate the dead and wounded. Bill Gasparini reports that some have not gotten the word.
There's a lot less firing in Grozny today, but it hasn't stopped entirely. An eerie quiet in the downtown area is broken every few minutes by the sound of a tank or artillery round. There's also intermittent small arms fire from snipers. But compared with the last few days, this still represents a major change, whether the ceasefire is total or not. Chechen fighters say they hadn't heard about the ceasefire. Others laughed when told about it, saying it makes no difference to them. Still others denounced President Yeltsin as a war criminal and vowed to fight on until Russian troops leave the Chechen Republic entirely. The area around the presidential palace is a desolate wasteland. The buildings are all destroyed or heavily damaged, and there's rubble and debris everywhere. Civilians have come up from bomb shelters and basements to look for water and bread, which has been in very short supply. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Grozny.
The Moscow newspaper Izvestia reports that scores of discouraged Russian soldiers and officers have decided on their own to leave Chechnya. It's 5 minutes after the hour. Military maneuvers between Russian and German troops are off, at least for the time being. John Holland tells us while the official reason has not been given, it's clear that some German officials have been critical of the Russian military operation in Chechnya.
In an interview in Der Spiegel, Defense Minister Volker Ruhe said his Russian counterparts have postponed joint Russian-German maneuvers set to take place this summer near St. Petersburg. Ruhe gave no reason for the postponement and said military cooperation with Russia remained good. But German government officials recently grew reluctant to hold joint training exercises following Russia's crackdown in Chechnya. History also plays a role in Germany's recent squeamishness. More than 50 years ago, Russians allowed Germans to participate in military maneuvers on its soil as a result of an agreement between Hitler and Stalin. German officials here say they want to avoid giving logistical help to the Russian military if it appears that expertise will be used by Russia against its rebellious regions, or even worse, against former Soviet bloc countries. John Holland for CBS News, Berlin.
Aviation experts meeting in Washington have recommended an array of steps to make air travel safer and restore public confidence in the system. They include tougher standards for pilots, upgraded communications between flight crews and controllers, and better training for mechanics. Thousands of air travelers were delayed when construction workers cut some cables and busy Newark Airport lost all of its power yesterday. WCBS Radio's Fred Fishkin says the airport was up and running again this morning.
Crews made temporary repairs to the severed power cables and put Newark Airport back in business early this morning. But there are still all of those stranded passengers to deal with. Airport Services Manager Dick Williams says
the backlog would be about less than a day to get the back in a full cycle.
For passengers arriving here, there was a sense of relief just to see the lights on. Brett Fishkin for CBS News, Newark International Airport.
The New York Times reports that Colombian drug gangs have taken to buying old passenger jets, ripping out the seats, and using them to fly tons of cocaine into Mexico. The stuff is then trucked into this country. Each load is worth around $120 million. The planes are so cheap, they can be abandoned if drug agents get too close. It's 7 minutes past. The chairman of the House Budget Committee promises that Republicans will detail their plans to cut spending when a budget comes out in 3 months. Committee Chairman John Kasich of Ohio was responding to White House Chief of Staff Leon Panetta, who said a GOP balanced budget amendment could force major cutbacks in programs for the poor and elderly. Dave McConnell of WTOP Radio in Washington has more on the budget battle.
We won't be distracted by the diversionary or the dilatory tactics of yesterday's power brokers. Things have changed around here.
Florida's Porter Goss as House Republicans defend their move to pass a balanced budget amendment first and then fill in the details later. Democrats say the GOP ought to show and tell right now. California's Walter Tucker.
If the Republicans expect the American people to agree to their program, they had better spell out the plan.
House leaders have now decided to put off a floor vote on the balanced budget amendment beyond their January the 19th target date. Word is the measure will now come up a week after that. Dave McConnell for CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The government says wholesale prices rose just 0.2% last month. John Stair reports.
Economists say the wholesale inflation numbers are good news, an indication that inflation is under control despite the growing economy. Dan Cito of Nico Securities says the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes are working to keep wholesale inflation in line.
Hopefully, that will mean prices for consumers at the supermarkets, at the department stores, or whatever stores you're looking at, are not going to be seeing substantial inflation also.
Tomorrow, Labor Department releases its report on consumer inflation for December. It, too, is expected to be moderate. John Stair, CBS News, New York.
In Lumberton, North Carolina, a judge may decide today whether prosecutors will be able to use an incriminating statement made by Larry Demery, one of two young men accused of murdering Michael Jordan's father. In court yesterday, police investigator Barry Lee read back Demery's words, describing how he and Daniel Andre Green found Michael Jordan's 1986 NBA All-Star ring in his father's car.
As we were going through the car, Daniel said, "Damn, I believe we killed Michael Jordan's daddy." Daniel then started showing me a ring with NBA on the side, the initial MJ on the side.
Outgoing CIA Chief James Woolsey says an agreement could be reached as early as this week with female case officers who have sued the intelligence agency for sex discrimination. Woolsey told a Senate committee a settlement in the class action suit is likely to include retroactive promotions, back pay, and steps to prevent future discrimination. On Wall Street after 30 minutes, the Dow Industrials were ahead 13 points. It's 10 past.